Let me read to you today's brief gospel passage while we are receiving the collection, and I thank you in advance for your generosity to Christ Church. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but put it on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Keep those words in mind. How many of you, Dina, forgive me, how many of you watched any of the World Cup soccer or are watching it? Right, sure. Dina hates sports metaphors, but they come so naturally to me. I read a very good article recently that I'm happy to share with anyone. Some of what I'm about to say, I'm drawing from that article, so I don't want anyone to accuse me of plagiarism. Demacus. Did you know, or let me ask you this, do you think life is more like a baseball game or more like soccer? It is. Did you read the article? Baseball, if you think about it, is the accumulation of a lot of individual acts. You've got an individual batter trying to hit the ball. You've got someone in the outfield individually catching the ball. You've got someone else running a base. Soccer is much more, and I love both sports, soccer is much more of a team sport, because what you're doing in soccer is you are controlling space, and that takes more than one person. If Matthew is driving at me with the ball, then Stavroula and I have to position ourselves just so in coordination with each other to deny him his goal of putting that ball into that goal. It's much more of a team sport. Now, this same article went on to describe how who we are around, our friends, our families, our networks, affect us as individuals. Of course, one of the obvious things is if our network, if our friends have certain preferences for things, if they only use iPhones, then guess what? We're going to be far more likely to only use iPhones. Or 20 years ago, we might have talked about they only drive Fords instead of Chevys. These sort of things affect us. If our network tends to use a lot of bad language, guess what? We will tend to pick that up as well. So our friends affect us. We knew this. But what really struck me was the comment about the extended mind of our network. And by that, what the author referenced was, when I speak to Anita Asimos, she draws out of me and I draw out of her a unique interaction. Same way with Afrula, same way with Omer. And that's one of the reasons we miss someone when they pass away. Because that unique interaction that may be similar to what I have with Elaine, but it's not quite the same, that unique interaction is gone from our lives. The way we interact with our favorite cousin, or obviously husband, wife, mother, daughter, the way we interact is specific to each individual, and it's very critical, and we were made for that interaction. Now, all this talk about our network and about our extended mind leads right into the Holy Fathers. Why do we remember them? Why do we care? For heaven's sakes, this was centuries ago. Well, the reason we care is because they form the network. They form the moral ecology that we inhabit right now. Our theology ecology, if you will, they helped form it. And the fathers between us and them, and mothers, you know that phrase, fathers is inclusive, passed it down to us. And we inhabit that ecology, that Christian church, the body that they have given to us. It guides us and leads us. And you might think, okay, well, how does that all tie into the scripture? Will the fathers, again, who selected the pericope, which is just a $5 word for a text, you are the light of the world. The holy fathers are our light to show us the path, to lead us and guide us and help us. Life is hard. We need a path. We need someone to show us. Given to our own efforts, we are like children in the garden, and we will make mistakes and choose the wrong things and get lost in the woods. We need someone to show us the way. They do not light a lamp and put it under a basket. They don't hide themselves, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. The Holy Fathers can't do a whole lot for someone who doesn't come to the church, for someone who doesn't come to Christ and seek that illumination. But you are here and others perhaps watching. That light is for us to help us and guide us, to give us warmth when we feel cold in our hearts, to know that we are not alone, which is perhaps the single biggest thing most, if not all of us, struggle with, that sense of loneliness, which is the fruit that we ate in the garden. We partook of that before we were ready, and we estranged ourselves from God and friends and neighbors, indeed from our very selves. So when you feel lonely, you are human. Do not be surprised. That is our condition, and that is one of the things that we seek reconciliation from. It's one of the reasons we have faith. I'm not alone. God, I know you're there. I'm not alone. I have friends, family, husbands, wives. We are not alone, even when things seem very difficult. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify God in heaven. The Holy Fathers did just this. They didn't have faith and then hide away. Sure, some sought to shield themselves from persecution like any reasonable person would. But then others, as circumstances provided, gladly gave themselves up in public for the faith. They martyred themselves for the faith. Christ goes on to say, "Do not think," this is a shift, "do not think that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill." If you read that and you think about it, that's kind of an odd comment. I mean, why would you say that? It's defensive. He's explaining himself. Why? Has he said something that would give his audience pause to concern? I looked ahead further in the chapter, in the book, actually, since we're only on chapter 5. There's nothing that he would need to explain. But then if you follow, you look what's coming next, he knew what he was going to say. There are a series of 6 statements. Basically, he says something like, "You have heard it said that you are not to murder, but I tell you, do not even be angry at your brother. You have heard it said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you, if you look at a woman with lust in your heart, you have already committed it." There are a series of these types of statements. He takes the Mosaic law and he expands it. And the reason he warns his audience, the reason he explains, is because they're going to find this offensive. Because what he is doing, when he takes that and says, "You have heard it said this, but I say that," he is lifting himself up higher than Moses. Now that would be like someone coming to us today and saying that they were qualified, they had more authority than St. John the Baptist. How well would we accept that? Probably not very well at first, nor should we. We should test these things. But that's why he says that. He goes on to commend those who not only talk the talk, but walk the walk. And that's what our Holy Fathers did. They said, "I believe." They were chrismated. They were baptized. They were ordained, some of them. They publicly held the faith. Some of them endured persecution and martyrdom. But they didn't give up. They talked the talk. And they walk the walk. So if we want to honor our holy fathers and mothers, we will do the same thing. Remember that the next time you're tempted to be short of temper, to be angry, or to feel lonely. Don't just talk the talk, but walk the walk. Amen.